Question from Vikas Dhawan Prabhu. Please let me know the Vedic perspective on euthanasia. Is it allowed? From Srimad Bhagavatam, we know that Bhishma Dev had the benediction that he will leave his body only on his own accord at a time that he desired. However, in euthanasia, the patient is not capable enough of making a rational decision on whether to live or leave the body. How should we understand this from Vedic perspective? Answer. The example of Bhishma Patamaha is not really relevant to euthanasia. In euthanasia, a person wants to end his or her life unnaturally, prematurely, because of the primary reason of wanting to avoid incurable pain. In contrast, Bhishma Pitamaha, although he was in pain, still he wanted to prolong his life so that he could see the prosperity of his grandsons, the Pandavas. So the two principles are radically different. Bhishma Pitamaha, if he had wanted to reduce his pain, he could have departed from his body on the 10th day of the Mahabharata war itself when he fell. But he stayed on in spite of the pain for a higher purpose. In euthanasia, on the other hand, people want to cut short their lives. So from the Vedic perspective, that is certainly not acceptable, because we are given the body by our past karma, and we have to live in this body for a particular period of time. And in that period of time, there is a certain amount of karma that we have to endure, and we can't avoid that karma. So by karma here I refer to karmic reactions. So we have to undergo those karmic reactions, and if we try to avoid them by prematurely destroying the body, all that we gain is that we incur further karma. Why further karma? Because the body which was entrusted to us by God, we have destroyed it prematurely. And that is itself like suicide in one sense. Suicide is no doubt sinful. So same way here also. And of course, whatever suffering we were going to get in this body, we can't evade that. We will get it in a future body. So that's why the concept of euthanasia as mercy killing is certainly not acceptable. And in general, there have been surveys done in Netherlands and several other countries. It is often that instead of mercy killing, it is convenience killing. That means that it is not that the person wants to die, but the person's relatives and support staff do not want to take care of that person anymore. And so for the sake of the convenience, often the person is given some injection to end his or her life. So in general, the Vedic conception, understanding is that let nature follow its course. So this means that we don't accelerate death by taking some substances to kill ourselves. That's called medically assisted suicide. On the other hand, the Vedic culture also doesn't recommend prolonging life by putting artificial support systems for a very, very long time. So if the doctors say that there is not much chance of recovery, and the body is in a dysfunctional condition where without the support systems a person cannot survive, then keeping the support systems is not recommended. Srila Prabhupada says that the soul is basically, the body has become dysfunctional, the soul has to go on to the next body. Why stay attached? So there is another question answer on this topic which you can search and hear about prolonging life, but your thrust is euthanasia, which means shortening life, and that is certainly not recommended. Now there is one kind of voluntarily accepted death which might seem like euthanasia, but it is different. It is called prayavrata. Prayavrata means a person decides to fast to death. So prayavrata is considered to be like a religious way of departing from the body. So we could call it suicide in a sense, or you could call it euthanasia. But when a person feels that he has had enough, he has no more desire to live, then as a matter of austerity, that person enters into a state of religious or devotional trance through meditation, and just shuts himself or herself off from the world. And in that way, the person gives up the body. So, in this case, the substantial difference from euthanasia is that, again, the person has not taken any artificial substances to cut out the pain, nor has the person in any way violated the laws of nature. So, fasting is considered to be a sacred activity. And normally speaking, we fast for a day or so on Ekadashis. But there are austere sages who would fast longer. And although the purpose of fasting is not to torture the body, but when the body is no longer capable of functioning, then there is no point in prolonging the body. So there was this sannyasi Narmada Maharaj, who got some diseases which made it impossible for him to do any services. He basically got Parkinson's. So then he decided to do prayavrata and fast to death. So when devotees tried, encouraged him to take food, he gave a very devotional reply. Although his body was so out of control, but his consciousness was clearly in control. His response was that, my body is meant to serve Krishna. But if my body can't serve Krishna, then what reason do I have to maintain this body? So he had a clear understanding that I am not my body, and that the body is a tool for serving Krishna. If the tool cannot serve that purpose, then what is the need to maintain that tool? So this is not at all an escapist consciousness. This is actually a transcendental consciousness. So very few people can have this kind of consciousness. And I'm talking about this primarily for just sake of the record. In general, euthanasia is to be strongly discouraged. Instead, that person should be encouraged to try to absorb the mind in Krishna, so that one can not only get a relief from the pain by absorption in Krishna, but one can also get purification. There is a story about one Mataji devotee, Surapriya Mataji, which is there on this site, how my cancer became a blessing. She wanted to... she had a breast cancer spread through the bones, and she wanted to have euthanasia administered, but her sons, who were devotees, they told her told her not to do it, and asked her to absorb herself in Krishna. And she took that advice to her heart, and she led a very exemplary, inspired and extraordinary life for the last 6-7 months. So certainly we don't want to be hard hearted and sentence people to suffering, but sentimental or quick fix solutions to avoid suffering may well end up in making the suffering worse, whereas courageously facing the suffering and transcending it by absorption in Krishna can offer much greater salvific benefits for that person, as well as inspiration for others. Thank you.